You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
This morning, I'm sure that this is one of those messages that I just know it probably is not relevant for your life. But if you'll listen, maybe it will help you to help someone else. Because we're going to talk about anger. Does anybody want to confess right now, just with uplift? I know it's an issue that it's just a part of life. It's an emotion that's a God-given emotion. And used properly, it is able to help have great impact and have perimeters in life. The Bible tells us this. The Bible says that we can be angry, but it says be angry and do not sin, Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and do not sin. So there is a righteous anger. There is this anger of being directed at the appropriate thing, a righteousness. Righteous anger. Jesus turned over the money changers' table in the temple. There was a display of displeasure in what was happening, and he said, "You know, my house is to be a house of prayer. You made it a den of thieves." They were selling things in God's house. It wasn't that they were selling things; they were actually selling things that were helpful in people's process of making sacrifice, but they were charging too much. They were taking advantage of people and stealing from them, and it infuriated the Lord. The Apostle Paul, we see him being stern at times and that chastisement. James talks about that chastising and that having that sense of righteous, being righteous and firm and all those things. So we understand that we can be angry, but we are not to sin. I think the issue is we let the sun go down on our anger. Anger that stays in there and it takes root and it creates all kinds of issues in life. And one of those being bitterness and one of those being just volatile. In life circumstance and situation. So, but this morning, we're not talking about a righteous anger. I think we get that. What we're talking about is that selfish anger. We're talking about that anger when we don't get our way or when we've been offended, we've been hurt, when we want to tell people what we think, we want to justify, we want to give people a piece of our mind, and we are just infuriated at what has happened to us. It's a selfish anger. It's said that the average man loses his temper 6 times a week. Now, women may not agree with that. I know men will not agree with this. The average woman loses her temper 3 times a week. I don't know who was in that survey. Women tend to get angry at people. Men tend to get angry at things that don't work. Men tend to be a little bit more physical in their anger, more apt to throw something or stomp or a little bit explosive, or maybe a lot explosive, if you will. Here's something interesting. Home is where we are most likely to express our anger. Why is that? Because we know we can't do it at work or we'll get fired. We know that it will affect us in relationships work relationship, friendships, if we have these temper tantrums. It's most often displayed at home. And how about this? Anger is most frequent and intense towards those we love, not strangers. Boy, I can testify to this. I have struggled with anger, and I know you go, oh, Pastor Fred, not you. You know, I don't tend to get angry playing golf. I love playing golf. I don't throw my clubs. I've never, I don't throw tantrums on the golf course. I never had real explosions on the basketball court or football field, on the baseball diamond. But I understand that being angry at home. And in my driven personality and that perfectionist in me, that I have tried and learning to chill out a little bit in life and feel like I'm doing a whole lot better and maybe it's age, I don't know, but I was climbing ladders, building churches, I was working from sunup till sundown. I'd play my ball and play my golf, but I'd do it early, do it at lunchtime, and I was busy all the time, and I was doing all these things, and I was trying to build the ministry and do everything I could to be successful. But in doing that, when I would go home, I could be very frustrated. And I can't take my frustration out at church, and I can't take it out on church people. So Liz or the kids would be the recipient. And I know there were seasons of time it was like they were walking on eggshells. It's like, oh man, he's home. You know, what kind of mood? Is he going to be upset? I have experienced all those things. And what I'm preaching this morning, I believe, can help us all at whatever age or stage of life that we are, to live in such a way that we are not undermining our relationships, destroying our testimony, and just simply being ineffective and feel like we're losing the battle. And so God's word is amazing, isn't it? And it gives us the answers to life. And so we're gonna look at that this morning. Let me start though with giving you just a little bit of foundation. We've talked about some of these things before, but just a reminder of some of the ways that anger is demonstrated. You know, anger, we have these learned responses. Anger is expressed, usually we learn it from our parents or from television or from friends or maybe a husband or wife, but we learn to respond in certain ways, and because we do things, we're trying to get our way. But here's some ways that people express anger. How about this? How about the exploder? Does anyone know an exploder? Look straight at me this morning, right here. Does anyone know an exploder? You don't. That's rhetorical. You don't have to answer. I think we all do. It's that person that is just they're a walking time bomb. At some juncture, they are just gonna cut loose. And they explode all over. They let it fly, they throw things, they cuss and yell and stomp, throw a temper tantrum, like a little baby brat that doesn't get its way. Nostrils flaring. It's that manic. It's that just gonna get all over you. And some people, and you know who they are, and you just know it's a matter of time, and you try to stay on their good side, and you cater, because you know what? We just gotta do everything, because they're gonna explode. We just have to be careful, they're gonna explode all over us. And I don't wanna be the recipient of that. So you have the exploder. How about this? The silent treatment. Anyone ever been given the silent treatment? It's the opposite of the exploder. It's the person that holds it in, and anger is brewing. They pretend they're not mad. They will not admit they're mad. Are you upset? Are you upset with me? No. Oh, no, seriously. I do. I know you're upset. No, I'm not upset. No, I'm not upset. They will not. But it's kind of like they're just stewing. It's been said that people who hold it in are more susceptible to high blood pressure, ulcers, headaches, tension, backaches, all kinds of things. Now, I'm not saying if you have those things that you have an anger problem that's brewing, but it can cause those things. It's that silent treatment. They're not going to give you any information, but they are ticked. But they're just holding it in, just smiling. I'm okay. What about this? What about the pity party? It kind of goes with that person that holds it in. Kind of the pity party. I'll just make a quick comment concerning this. Depression many times can happen. And I'm not talking about clinical depression. I'm not talking about chemical imbalances or mental illness when I talk about depression. I'm talking about that up and down, just struggle, seem heavy. Here's what happens is when we internalize anger, it becomes depression. It becomes a heaviness on us. And the problem with the pity party person is this, is they try to make everyone else miserable with them. And then there's the retaliator. And that's the person who they're not just going to get even with you. They are going to beat you. They are going to retaliate in their anger. And they're going to try to push you down and lift themselves up. And the way they do that is through sarcasm, through jabs. It's the person who teases you hurtfully. Just tease. And then when you finally respond, they're like, "Joe, you can't take a joke, can you?" But they're just pushing. Pretending to be nice, but they're going to get even. You know, everyone gets angry in some way. But the good news is this. The good news is we can change by the power of the Holy Spirit. The good news is you don't have to live that frustrated life. Because God wants to help you. Isn't that good news today? Sure. Well, how do we do this? How do we get free from anger? And I want to give you a few things. These are founded in Scripture. I want you to take note, take heart. Proverbs 25 and verse 28 says this, "A man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls." A man without self-control. If you don't have self-control, you allow anger to be demonstrated in whatever way. What you do is you set yourself up for attack. You set yourself up to be ran over. It's like a city. There's no walls. And when you have no self-control, you're setting yourself up for so many other things to be welcomed into your life. Well, this morning, why do I get angry? I think that's where we start. Identify it. Why do I get angry? Most people get angry whenever they get hurt. Hurt causes anger, whether it's physical hurt or emotional hurt. See, you need to look at these things like a warning light. Like on your car, when the oil light comes on, or the overheating light, or the tire pressure light, or the oil change light, check engine light, that when that light comes on, okay, why am I getting angry? Well, hurt. Hurt creates anger. Now, I'm going to use divorce for an example. This isn't to alienate or make anyone feel bad. Divorce has affected so many people in our life, culture, and in this church. And so many have received healing, and just God's done some incredible works in your life. But I will tell you that when divorce happens, there is hurt. And many times, it's deep hurt. And if that hurt is not dealt with, then that hurt ends up manifesting itself down the road in another relationship. And it may not be that person, but it's what happened back here. And so, if we don't deal with our hurt, then we're going to struggle with anger. Now listen to this. The deeper the hurt, the deeper the anger. The more you feel like you've been betrayed, you may not even realize it right now, but the more you've been betrayed, the deeper you've been hurt, the deeper the anger will be. When I stop hurting, then I'll stop being angry. I'll say it again. When I stop hurting, I'll stop being angry. Well, how do you deal with that anger? And I've preached a lot of messages on this. But I'm going to tell you, I heard something just a few weeks ago that really impacted my life. And Justin and Melissa shared their testimony and stories. And Melissa's here today, Justin's working. But through their testimony, they talked about hurt, the hurt. And they talked about anger. And anger, hurt and anger were a reoccurring theme throughout their entire testimony. And I had the privilege to remarry this couple, which was a miracle. Can somebody say amen and thank you, Jesus? And I want to tell you, their countenance is just different. And so at the conclusion of their testimony, I stood here and I said, guys, I said, you talked about anger. How did you get past your anger? And here's what I got from it. It was, they really surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. And then they said this, and we forgave each other. See, the hardest thing you will ever do in your life is to forgive someone. When they said that, I thought, it works. It works. Their lives, the pain that they had created and pain they had caused each other, but they said, you know what? I'm praying for a man of God. He's saying, I want to be a man of God. They surrender to Christ, and they forgave one another. And all of a sudden, the hurt and the anger. Does that mean they don't ever have frustration? No. But the anger, the explosive, all the fuss, all the fight, all, it's gone. Somebody say amen. That is a living testimony right there on the front row. Talk to her. Talk to Justin about how God healed their lives by dealing with the hurt and the anger through surrender, and through forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I have some boundaries, no trespassing, but they trespass. They come across and they wreak havoc in my life. Forgive us our trespasses because we have gone against your word. We have stepped into areas that we should not step. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. For if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father in heaven forgive you. See, this whole issue of eternity is built off of forgiveness. So, when we hurt, we become angry. Frustration, when nothing seems to work, it's just like one thing to another, and we've all had those seasons where it seems like Murphy's Law is in effect, and it's like, man, what is happening? Stop. Ask yourself, why am I getting so frustrated? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? I know that guy pulled out in front of me. I know he cut me off. I know it. But is it worth it for me to lay on the horn, to get up beside him, to look at him and shake my head? I can't do that. I can't do it. Small town. They probably go to my church. But is it worth it? You know what? We live on a small island that millions, 5 million people a year come and visit us. We're going to have traffic. Is it worth it? Is it worth it to give that waitress a piece of our mind because food wasn't prepared right? Is it worth it when you go to the customer service line at Walmart or Target to just blast them over something? You gotta remember frustration. Frustration can create this anger. Insecurity. I think most people are insecure. We have great facades. We may think, make people think, I don't care what people think. But underneath there's this desire to be accepted, appreciated, liked. But insecurity, when someone attacks our self-worth or embarrasses us or criticizes us, demeaning to us, a lack of loyalty, betrayal, all those things, that insecurity, there's a desire to fight back. So the first thing I would tell you is slow down. What's causing me to get so angry? How about this? I think this is so, so powerful. Find your self-worth in your Heavenly Father. We talked about this last week, in last week's message, about our self-worth. You know, I always wanted my Father's approval. And I worked hard. My dad and I butted heads on a lot of things, but I wanted him to be proud of me. I wanted to succeed. I wanted him to say, good game. I wanted him to say, man, kid, you did it. Man, you hit the shot. You ran. You made the play. Whatever sport it was in. And I got affirmation. My dad was extremely hard on me, but he was also extremely affectionate and verbal. You know, I didn't wait till his deathbed to hear him say for the first time, son, I'm proud of you and I love you. I heard it my whole life. And so I wanted that. You know, I think this, if we could, and maybe you didn't get that, and that can cause problems. A girl that doesn't have her father's approval or father's investment or even a young man, and if we don't get it from our earthly parents, sometimes it can affect us. But I really believe the answer is in this. God can give us a grace to help us deal if we didn't have that, and then God help us to become the kind of parents and people that our parents were not. But I think the bigger picture is I get my value from God. He thinks I'm valuable. See, if God's for me, boy, it changes everything. There's more security in my heart and mind. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 21 says, do not take heart at all the things people say. Hey, people are going to talk. People are going to say things. So many people wear their heart on their sleeve and they get so offended, easily offended, whatever. You look at them cross-eyed, they get offended. You don't shake their hand, they get offended. You didn't get a call to them. You didn't get to see them in the hospital. Whatever it is, people get offended for umpteen million things. The issue is this. Do not take heart at all the things people say or do, lest you hear your servant cursing you. You're going to hear somebody putting you down and you're going to get really crushed. Find your self-worth in your heavenly Father. You see, if I think someone is undermining me, talking about me, if I'm so in tune to that, it's going to create frustration and anger in me. The secret of overcoming anger is to develop a self-worth that's based on the Word of God, that I am complete in Christ. That's what Colossians says. And so He's the one who makes me whole. And as long as God is for me, you know, as long as I know God cares about me. And so I learned to accept the fact that I am complete in Him. Amen? I love that. Doesn't it bug you if somebody says something or makes fun of you? Yeah. But if I can have a God perspective, a bigger picture, I mean, think of the things they said about Jesus. Most of the time, He didn't answer anybody. You know why? He was secure in His Father. How can I overcome? Like Jesus overcame, I get security in my Father. See, if God likes me, I can like me. If you don't like me, you got a problem. Make it their problem, not yours. You don't know what you're missing. I'm a great guy. How about this? Stop and think before reacting. Stop and think. Now, I know what some people are thinking. You're thinking, oh, it's the old count to 10 rule, right? Well, not really. It is to stop. It is to think. But I think it's more than count to 10. See, when we get angry, our mouth usually runs faster than our minds. And when you get angry, you tend to engage your mouth before you engage your mind. What's the saying? A sharp tongue is the quickest way to cut your own throat. And how many times have people blown their stack? How many times have people just exploded? And how many times have you thought, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that. Oh, I can't believe I did that. Listen to this. Proverbs 13:16. Every prudent man acts with knowledge. A prudent man, a wise man, acts with knowledge. In other words, he's thinking knowledge. He's thinking. But a fool flaunts his folly. A fool is one who just spouts off his mouth and talks before thinking. Proverbs 16:23, the heart of a wise man makes his speech judicious. The heart of a wise man makes his speech. He's slow to speak and adds persuasiveness to his lips. See, when we get angry, more than anything else, we need, listen to me real good, we need to delay our response. so that we don't go, why did I do that? I can't believe I've done that. When I was youth pastor in my first youth pastor position, Liz and I were in Rock Island, Illinois, worked with a man who was friends with my dad. My dad had kind of been a dad to him in ways, and he had been a youth camp director, and he'd gone off to Toronto, Canada, and worked at a big church up in Canada, and then came back to the States and was pastoring a really great church in the Quad Cities, and called and asked if Liz and I would come be youth pastors, and we were young. Went, God blessed us. We got on campuses. I ate lunch at a different campus every day. Our youth group exploded. And it was just, it was alive and kicking. And there was a man who got upset about something that we were doing. I don't have time to go into all of it. It was really a silly thing. But it made me mad. It frustrated me, hurt me. He's talking about me. We're trying to do a good thing. It made me mad. He went and talked to my pastor. He didn't come talk to me. My pastor called me in. He said, hey, Fred. He said, you know this, what's going on? I said, yeah. He goes, I just want you to know I've got your back on this. I told him what you're doing, why you're doing it, and all those things. He goes, I know you're justified. If you want to talk to him, and if you want to try to explain to him, but he said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to wait 3 days. Just pray about it. Wait 3 days and then talk to him. And I said, okay. And in 3 days, I didn't want to talk to him. But if I'd have talked to him that day, I would have made a fool out of myself. Does that make sense? There's something about thinking, processing. Why am I getting angry? Is this my ego? Is it my pride? Why am I getting angry? Am I hurt? Why am I getting angry? Am I frustrated? And really, what do I want out of this? I mean, I want to give them a piece of my mind, but what do I want out of this? What in my anger, what am I wanting to accomplish? Most people think, well, I just want a little revenge. But I can tell you, you really don't want revenge. Because revenge rarely gets you what you really want. In fact, it takes you further down. Revenge is that automatic response when I'm uptight. I mean, what good does it to really get angry, to be sarcastic, to be that exploder, or do the silent treatment? What good does it do to get all irritated and pout? I mean, if I could just stop and think. And I know what some people say. They say, Pastor, I can't stop. I can't stop. It's just my Irish blood, it's just who I am. My mom and dad were like that. I can't stop. When I get angry, I can't. I just keep going and I can't shut it down. Have you ever been at the house and you're just going at it? You're giving her what for, she's giving you what for, the kids are there, they're crying, it's chaos, and I mean it's just coming down, and the phone rings. Hello. Yeah, great to hear from you. Oh, we're doing awesome. Yeah, we're just here at the house hanging out. See, you can stop. You can stop if you want to. You can stop. But what I'm telling you is you can stop by the grace of God, by the power of God. Amen? Amen. Our time is gone. But I'd like to say this. Anger's a choice. And when you get angry, you're choosing to get angry. And you get angry because you want to get angry. Relax. Relax. That's a great word, isn't it? It's a Bible word long before Tommy Bahama used it. Proverbs 14:30, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh, but envy makes the bones rot. Just breathe. Just relax. You know, we everyone's so uptight. You know, we got all these modern inventions and it's supposed to make our life easier. But really, we're more accessible than ever before. It used to be you call and leave a message. They write it on a little piece of paper. You call back. Everyone has everybody's cell phone, and that's fine. I'm not complaining about that, but here's what happens is, you know, there's calling, there's texting, there's emailing, there's Facebooking. There's all these things that are happening, and we're always, our minds are always engaged. And, you know, I think one of the lost arts of the church is meditation. Meditation is a Bible thing. It's not some kind of Eastern religion, some kind of mystical religion thing. It's a Bible thing. The Bible talks about meditating, quieting our minds, thinking over and over on Scripture. Something about, and see, we don't have any of that. And we're always strung, wound so tight. And maybe if we just got in a prayer closet and just got in the presence of God, maybe if we quieted ourselves, maybe the reason there's so much road rage and everybody's angry and high-strung and ready to explode on everybody, maybe it's because we're missing spending time with our Heavenly Father. And then it's walk in the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Self-control. See, look and listen. If the Holy Spirit is abiding, if I'm walking in the Spirit, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my life. I'm walking according to the Spirit, not according to my flesh. Then the fruit or the result of the Holy Spirit being alive in me, welcomed in me, that I'm listening to the Spirit. I'm listening to the Spirit rather than listening to my own flesh. Then the result of that is there's love in my life. There's joy. There's peace. Let's get to self-control. Self-control. Self. Well, that means I have to do it myself. No, you missed the point. Let me tell you. Here's what self-control means. Look at me real good. Self-control. You ready? It means self-control. But see, the way I have self-control, according to Scripture, that is a result. It's not, I'm going to do this. I'm not going to get angry. I'm going to act right. No, it's the result of the Holy Spirit abiding and working in me so I can control myself. Woo, come on now. That's how it works. The Holy Spirit, then I'm able to control it. See, void of the Holy Spirit, look at me, I can't control it. Void of the Holy Spirit, I can't love like I'm supposed to. Void of the Holy Spirit, I don't have peace. I don't have joy. I have fleeting happiness. But see, because of the Holy Spirit, I'm able to love like I'm supposed to love. I can have peace like I'm supposed to have. I can have the self-control that God intended for me to have by His